This is tape recording number 7101C24SO, FEBC number 9. A tape recorded lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 24th of January, 1971. The title of this lecture is Production and the Resources of the HAS. It is 47 minutes and 37 seconds long. Copyright C, 1971-1974 by L. Ron Hubbard. All world performance rights reserved.
Now, a group, when it gets together, if it's got the idea of where it's going and what it is doing, and if it isn't all individuated, one from the next and so on, can normally pull together so that it eventually will make it. For instance, in the Sea Org, we've been crawling up toward a two-year survival, and we're just making the grade. You see people around, they're not too well uniformed at the present moment, because there's no edge, now, there's no margin. We'll eventually make this. We're in teeth, not only a relentless enemy, who is fortunately, we hear he's a death rattle amongst his midst every once in a while, but we're in a world which is very topsy-turvy economically and otherwise and so on, just buying survival. And it's a minimum survival of just 2 years without making a penny. You can do that. You'll survive. And during that 2 years, you can get busy. And first, I give you an idea of how rickety things can get. For some reason or other, cash bills were so bad over the world that I didn't expect Scientology organizations to survive as of October 1969. I don't know who was saying what about which, but boy, they certainly were, by anybody's criteria, insolvent. Their cash bills ratio was crossed. They were in a horrible condition. It was a mess. Ghastly. Mary Sue originated as part of the LRH programs and didn't take full credit for it. FP number one, the LRH Ed, which is financial planning program number one. And she put that out and she rode that hard and so on. And as of now, the stats may not look all that great across the world and so forth, but those orgs are all solid. And she achieved that in 7 or 8 months, a very hard slug. Back and forth, back and forth. And she was dealing with the cost of the organization in almost every case. And she found out that most organizations had a very unreal idea of how much they cost. They didn't really know how much they cost to run a week, so they didn't know how much money they had to make. Now, if we've achieved that, we will achieve the next step, which is just this, that it is not good enough to make as much money as you need for the next week. You have to buy survival, and your survival is a minimum of a two-year run without a penny ever walking in the front door, and that's a minimum. And that would get you over most political other crises. So let's look at this. Let's take a look at this various criteria. These are the hard facts of life. Now you're up against the hard facts of life. So how much establishment can you afford? Well, you obviously cannot afford an establishment which doesn't produce, and you obviously cannot afford people in the establishment which doesn't produce, and you obviously can't afford to harbor machinery which doesn't produce, and offices which have no service use, and these are the things you can't afford. There was a trick that Johannesburg, in its early forming days when it was under Jack Parkhouse, used to pull, which was I was horrified at, is they balanced their books by firing staff members. So that as the stat went up and down, they would fire staff members and take on staff members in order to balance their books. Well, now that's the wrong way to do this. The way you do is half train and get better on post the staff members you have. Now, a manager always has the responsibility of providing work for his workers. And that is something that somebody had better learn in Russia. Just that. A manager has responsibility. You find yourself, it works two ways. It's how much establishment. Well, it's how much production. Now we're back to resources. What resources does the HAS have that can be utilized by production? Now you think, boy, you must be in the airy-fairy world and so forth, that it must be terribly difficult and so forth. No, it isn't terribly difficult. It's very, very simple. Our average income for the last 3 months was X. Therefore, our expenditure and establishment for the next 3 months must be one-half X, and our income must be 2X. And you're immediately the quarter. And you target it and try to strive for it. So, it's not very difficult to work out. You will find when you first face an organization that it's inefficient in the extreme. And you're not the hard-hearted whipmaster that says immediately, this many must go because we don't have the General Motors answer. See? Well, we're closing 5 plants now. Idiots. I use the word advisedly. Actually, it's an insult to idiots. That's about the lousiest management that anybody ever heard of. Look, they've got that much establishment. Now what? Now let's get it worked in reverse. What responsibility does this hand to the product officer of that org? He's got to get it consumed. He's got to get his product consumed, not reduced. You don't reduce production, you increase consumption. Every time you find yourself thinking in terms of, well, we've got too many auditors and so forth now, and so on, and therefore, so on. No, you've got resources. Resources have been furnished you. You have to quick, like a bunny, figure out, where's this production going to go? So it's one thing just to produce, and it's another thing to produce with some place to put your production. So when you're dealing with commodity of auditing hours, it doesn't seem to occupy much storage space, but actually you have a total vacuum. What are you going to do with this? We got 12 auditors, and we don't have any more work than for 6 auditors. Whoa! Whoa! We're not going to lay off 6 auditors. We're going to get the consumption increased for those idle auditors, and that is a responsibility of management. And a good manager, and a good production officer, and a good organizer will balance these factors out. Now you go down to the disc division, or you go over to promotion somehow or another, and you are going to increase that, and that is why PR is so very, very, very important. You've got to know reliably what people want. You've got to estimate what they want and predict what they want. Interesting? Now, you don't think we've ever done this. Oh, boy, yes, we have. What do people want? Well, they want new tech. But the answer to wanting new tech is the old tech hasn't been produced. And they don't necessarily want new tech at all. They want tech. And they hope that the new tech will produce more than the old tech. The factor missing there is quality. Quality of tech. We got somebody walking around this ship right now being talked to by the Master of Arms and other people and so forth. Trouble with her is she never had an engram running erased. You tough problem. Really tough. We got a 13-year-old auditor who probably run rings around any HDC. Well, she could sit there and run an engram out, except nobody's ever gotten her to an auditing session by an auditor who would run an engram out. Most of your basic problems of production are never connecting up. They never connecting up the guy who can do it and the guy who wants it. And simply that, see? Now, you try to connect up a guy who can't do it to a guy who wants it, and you're immediately going to have production problems, boy. You're going to have the fullest qual you ever heard of. Very funny, recently we were talking about stall cases and difficulties and so forth. The failure of quals over a period of time was the failure to use the primary tool of qual. And I was just investigated this about 70, or I don't know how long ago it was, 50 days ago. Now, if you know, the primary tool of qual is a green form. And the green form was turned out for qual. Now, a survey of the situation shows that the use of the green form was used like this. They start in at number 1 on the green form, go to number 2 on the green form, go to number 3 on the green form. By that time, they're just into rudiments, see? And then you get an FN on the rudiments. You try to go any deeper into the green form, and for some peculiar reason or another, why the TL go up or something like that will happen. The net result is that only the first page and a tiny margin of the second page of the green form have ever been used. And if you look in all of the stuff, now this doesn't seem to you to be a production consumption problem, but it is. How do we get green forms consumed? Actually, the problem was, how do we crack some of these cases? I think I was cracking cases like this that walk up, you know, and they seem to be awful bad off cases. Bah. So a type of assessment was adapted to this, which all of a sudden gave us back the green form in its totality. It is do a green form once through, take the best read. Bang, you'll crack the case every time. If the auditor can read the meeting. If he then runs the process he's supposed to run for that. Consumption of green forms. You could actually, on terms of consumption, let's look at this now. All right, here's a little technical breakthrough. It isn't much of a, it's a breakthrough just to the degree that this 1965 development, or I think it was even before that, is suddenly used. Now we're going to use it. Now, do you get this? You get this? You had it all this time. All of a sudden, we look this thing over. How are we going to use this? And that is most of your big ideas that you get in production. It's something you already got, and you're going to get the idea of how are we going to use this? You got it? So you look around, and you'll always find resources of this character. So you start a hell of a campaign. Start a hell of a campaign. Free green farm. I'm just giving you an idea. Free green farm. Only green farm wasn't popular. People got awful tired of these green farms because they never had a green farm. People began to shudder when you said green farm. So, it's a free case analysis. A case-cracking analysis. Dream it up any way you want to. Anybody who appears in the organization between 4 and 6 in the afternoon and so forth will be given a case-cracking analysis. Present this card. Now, if you're going to do that, somebody's going to have to run like hell to put the lines in. So that is why your org officer is not your establishment officer. Because the establishment is hard enough to maintain with all these wild hats running around in it without also having an org officer and a product officer who are getting ideas. So you're going to have to put in some temporary line. It's just a temporary line. You're going to have to beef it up more. So the org officer of the organization always has to ask the problem of how are we going to get this temporary line in order to handle this new consumption of product. So a consumption of product here is vitally necessary. Now, how are we going to get these people received? They walk in with this card. They show this card to reception. Will the reception leave them there for 2 hours? No. Now, somebody's got to have that reception, and this person doesn't know his way around through the organization, so somebody's got to escort him down to this terminal, and then there's got to be an auditor who sits there, and that auditor has to know how to do a once-through assessment on the thing, and then there's got to be some PR person perhaps there to say how great that is, but then that wouldn't give you that. Somebody ought to lead him back to the registrar about this time. So the registrar gives him his results. Well, if the registrar gives him results, the registrar can say, well, it'll only take 5 hours to handle it. 25 hours to handle this. It doesn't much matter what the registrar said. Or the registrar says, well, that actually carries along with it the case-cracking intensive, which is no specified, but it just costs X dollars. You're not under any obligation to pay it. Feel better now, don't you? Very good. That's fine. Next. You want that. Right here. Sign on the dotted line and so forth, and go on down the line and pay the cashier and so on. I'm very glad you are. Thank you. And you've got to have that line in. If you haven't got that line in, all the ideas that the production officer gets to increase consumption and set the 6 auditors busy will fail. We had most marvelous caper one time. It's called a hospital caper. And we had volunteer auditors all over the place, and a certain number of hours of the day they were going into hospitals and seeing patients and pepping them up and patting them on the back and so forth and giving them little cards. Marvelous. The person in charge of the project broke it right in half and crashed the project right down through the middle in spite of the hard work put in by these people for weeks. You know, I did it. There was no reception sitting at the other end of the phone number these people were being given, and the office he had and was rented was never manned. They couldn't reach it by phone. They couldn't reach it by feet. So the org officer is responsible to make sure that these lines exist. Now, the HAS would eventually incorporate this kind of thing into his organization. Now, he's busily running an organization. So therefore, an HAS has to have HCO expediters who can then put together immediate types of lines and setups to handle special traffic. They usually send them into file and CF when years ago they should have had two file clerks in CF. And they're usually used, expediters, to put together what HCO should have long since had as establishment. Now, an HCO expediter is somebody who goes down and gets in the special line and sits in as a special escort who handles the special action so that you don't have to remove people from key posts in order to fit out these wild ideas. Otherwise, the HCOAS is going to get very impatient with you. What? You need another receptionist. Well, we'll take one of the letter reg typists. No, he should have some HCO expediters, and if those people are not totally employed all the time, then they ought to be studying. So any slack time they have, during the day, then they ought to be studying. If he's going to have any full-time people on course who are going to something or other, and he doesn't think he can afford full-time people in course, why do you make them HCO expediters? And then not send them off to fix up a file someplace, but use them to put in special traffic lines. Now, an HCOAS, therefore, has to maintain the establishment. The establishment is pretty well established by org board. That org board is not an arbitrary, which simply sets up there. It is actually was production-oriented. And the end of every one of those departments had a product. When we state that thing loud and clear and start to work it all backwards, we wind up with the same 67 org board we had in the past. What do you know? Somebody must have been bright someplace. Anyhow... So he's actually organizing backwards, even though he's organizing, he thinks, frontwards. Because he's got a canned org board that he puts there, and bang, that org board is spot on. There's no reason that makes him the first action. He builds that org board backwards. How does he fill it? He fills it up to the degree that it is demanded by production. So he expands his establishment by increasing the posting of his existing org board. And he, too, must have resources. And I've given you one of his pools of resources. Now, very often, as you will find in the personnel series, you have personnel people who think each division, particularly the better running divisions, are personnel pools. And if you've ever seen screams go up in all directions, it's missionarying in the Sea Org. This is a horrible chapter of something or other from the viewpoint of people who are trying to hold the organization there and keep it going, because missionaire has priority. And this makes a mad mess. One day you've got a captain, the next day you haven't. You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. That ghastly. And don't think it doesn't just rip everything to ribbons. But it is necessary to do so because production in the Sea Org comes first. Production happens to be Scientology around the world. And it is now expanding to be Scientology around the world. So... a missionary has to go. That's that. All right, the rest of us will cope one way or the other. Now, actually, it puts too heavy a burden on, in the Sea Org, the division is the third mate, the HCO. Now, it puts too heavy a burden on him, so on. But he should get clever. There are some old FOs that talk about a missionary unit. So he's got a second pool. A second pool he has. So he's got a missionary unit. Now, in view of the fact that there's a heavy demand on highly trained personnel, your missionary unit spends most of its time at home on guard duty and study. And therefore, you have very highly trained people. And you can circulate people who are successful missionaries and also holding executive posts or less exalted posts. You can circulate them into the missionary unit. And so on, and take people in the missionary unit and put them on up. There are ways and means by which you can shift this sort of thing around. But it gives the personnel pool. So the main problem of an HAS is personnel pools, because his main flub, exclamation point, is destroying whatever organization has been put there. All right, somebody is working to put a qual there, and they work hard, and they get the people trained in and grooved in, and next thing you know, HCO regards qual as a personnel pool. Or there's another thing, because qual can be doubled in brass with tech in an organization, you get the disgraceful action. We've got a backlog now, so all the qual auditors and so forth, they're going to have to audit on the tech lines. Oh, boy. That's nuts. But it says the person in charge of HCO has not allowed for an ebb and flow of traffic and does not have any auditor pool. So who does it say is out? The HAS. He did not predict. So he's operating on no resources. Now, what are his basic resources? His basic resources, you say, of treasury or money. No, that's also the HAS's resources. People, hatted people, trained people, very valuable people, people of all sorts and descriptions, not just this blank file filled up with a body. I told you the other day, you can find all the bodies you want in the mortuary. So he must be running some kind of an HCO, which is a poverty HCO, because he doesn't have the resources that you would expect from an HCO. So he has to unmock what he builds. That's kind of crazy. Fella builds a house, then to build a second house, he has to take all the timber out of the first house to build a second house, and then he picked up, that's nuts. And somebody comes along one day and says, say, Simple Simon, why don't you have a pile of spare lumber? Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't get that through FP. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we can't afford that. Oh, I wouldn't say can't afford that. If I were an HAS at that point, I would shake my head at every FP meeting, sadly, while looking at the production officer. I would never say anything. Anytime anybody asked me for anything, I would say, when you fellows get around to producing something, you can come back and talk to me. Why don't you produce something with what you've got? Would be my standard attitude as an HAS. I must have, instantly and at once, 20 spares. 20 spare what? 20 spare staff members. Yeah, what for? For having spares. Yeah, I know, but there's only 15 staff members in the org. I say, I know. I'm tired transferring 15 transfers every week. You must be running a 35-man org. That must be what's wrong with this place. That's the why. You're trying to run a 35-man org with 15 men. And yet we don't seem to have enough money here to deal with. Not making very much money. All seems to be very sad. I wonder if we shouldn't train up a production officer. You see, this kind of thing, you know, it could get dirty after a while. But when production is not adequate for the establishment, then the establishment goes poor in all of its resources. And its main resources, of course, are trained staff members, willing auditors who want to come on staff. It includes the estate being coaxed into looking around to see if there are any cheap, empty office buildings around here. It's looking around and seeing whether or not there aren't some this's and that's, and how can we get a bunch of file cabinets. The wrong way to go about it is present to FP $8,655 for three new steel desks for the product officer, org officer, and HAS. That's not quite the way to go about it. The fellow is now pulling the incredible, and the incredible is trying to spend money you don't got. And it can be done in this society to show you how clever the society is. They're always willing for you to spend money you don't have. So you have to safeguard that. And we are ourselves, and we are solvent, and we do exist, and we do still own our souls, and we are not in the pockets of the international bankers solely because we make everything make its own way, and that is the basic action fit. I have heard, actually, that some members of orgs wonder why I don't pay them better. It'll be somebody in Keokuk or Kokomo. Why I don't pay them better. I don't know. I'm not even in charge of their board of directors. the answer to the question of how they aren't, say, asking the wrong question. The answer to the question is why don't they wear their hat and do their job in a quantity so that eventually the org will get more money and they can be paid more? Elementary. The answer to the question is right on their skull. Now, this is then the ecology, that economic dog-eat-dog framework, or dogs eat cats and cats eat rats or something, the ecology of this universe in which we are dealing. And the ecology of the universe is that staff members who produce get paid, HASs that put an establishment there that is hatted and trained to function and so forth, has a heavy income potential, and a production officer who is able to spot production and get the production out of that line, and who is able to persuade consumption, persuade those people he has in PR, promotion, distribution, wherever he has, if he can persuade consumption to occur as he raises his production, why, he is all set. And people just get paid more and more money, and the next thing you know, a staff member is déclassé who doesn't drive up in a Rolls Royce. But you have to think in that way in order to bring about that result. Now, in view of the fact that we aren't aiming for Rolls Royces, but we have an entirely different target, therefore it goes into the field of volume and quality. Viability will pretty well take care of itself if your volume and quality is adequate. So your first point that you always... Now, let me give you a letterage sequence here. This is for an HAS. What would he be persuaded to do? He could instant hat letter edges. That's going to give you volume. He mini hats them. That gives you some quality. He really hats them. That gives you viability. The first one is volume. And you as a manager always demand, first and foremost, volume as your first demand. And then when you've got your volume, you demand, as your second action, quality of the volume. And then your third action, you've got to calculate, and so forth, as viability. Now, if you don't calculate it somewhat backwards and figure out what your viability prediction is, you also will have an awful time of it. But right now, we have an organizational runaway pattern that is fantastic. It's AOLA. And in just a few successive weeks, they have a vaulting height, their peaks, although they sink from the peaks. The peaks on those weeks give you a curve that says within about 7 or 8 weeks, something on the order of about 50,000. Within 2 or 3 months, it says something like about 80,000. And certainly, within 5 months, it will be hitting 100,000. I wonder what the third mate at OAOLA is doing, what he's thinking, what he's worrying about. He doesn't think it's any part of his hat. And if he doesn't wear that as his hat and take that predicted vaulting, it tells you that the organization reached its make-break point as far as staff members were concerned, certainly at about 40,000. And that put that whole staff under considerable strain at about that, because they didn't have quite all of those posts covered, and they didn't have this, and they didn't have that. They really had to get down and sweat to keep the lines running and to keep their quality up. Well, that would be a breakdown of the HAS. So it tells you that at AOLA, within 5 months, they have to have double their staff, double the trained auditors they have, double the space they have. And look, it takes months to get people recruited, trained, and so forth. Who is sweating on it? I'll tell you at this moment, there isn't anybody worrying about it but me. Do you see what the prediction is? So, that is what an HAS has to do. He has to think in terms of. And there isn't any HAS thinking in those terms. Actually, there's been no hat written in these terms because this is your product org officer system. But this is the hat, so there's no condemnation of that. But that is the terms of that, because he has to furnish the establishment. And if he has to furnish the establishment, the wrong time to furnish the establishment is after it's hit. Three times what the organization can possibly handle. And when it's hit that, to do the organization and establishing that you should have done 5 months ago. Oh, God, this behind-hand action is pretty horrible. Now, I can tell you right now, we're cracking the roof on Europe. Europe's going to be a runaway. We do have a Scandinavian team in training of 4 people. But that's a Scandinavian team of 4 people. Oh. We have got a project going right at this moment that's going to knock spots off of Europe. All books, courses, we're setting up, we're engineering it one way or the other. We finally found out how the slots drop into place and how how we are going to build up to this line. We don't have to worry about the financing. It's just taken care of in the normal course of human events. We're translating into each principal European language the lot, an OEC, SHSBC, HAS course, books. Only previously it was not translatable because of the fantastic printing cost that it would have involved. The viability factor then did not forgive it. You could have put out $1 million translating and publishing books and that sort of thing. Would have been fabulous. Somebody reaches in his pocket and does this. No, you have to wait for an idea and think up an idea of how you can do this. It takes site translation like they do at the United Nations. I got the idea last February. It's taken us a while to get us underway. Site translation. A site translator can hear the thing in his ear and when he's really trained, spit it out in the other language. So it's just going right over onto tapes. Then we can copy those tapes and we can sell tapes and we make it mandatory for every one of those orgs to buy a complete new set of all of their tapes every 3 months. They'll wear them out. We get their promotion projects and so forth going. They're all on tapes. We don't have to translate anything on paper. So on. We're gearing up and alerting Scandinavian orgs right now in the Swedish area. Start figuring out how you're going to get your tape recorders, kids. And what you're going to be doing. There'll be other projects to graduate them into it. And all of a sudden in their midst, why they will have HAS and other materials. And they'll all be in Swedish. Same thing's going to happen in France. Same thing will happen in Germany. So on. We've busted the language barrier. It's always been a worry about how we were going to do this. All right, we do it. Now, the only other thing we've got to worry about is how do we get a multilingual LRHCOM, who is a site translator, can take the dispatches of that organization and translate them on tape or send it on through for his administrative act. Probably be nobody in the organization speaks any English at all. Dianotax. When we get it into Russian, that's it. Probably we'll put it in Lithuanian, Polish, borderline. So we're hitting into a boom in this in Russia. Russia's booming on the subject. They're fumbling all around trying to figure out what the psyche is all about. They find out that that's a legitimate sphere of research the government isn't controlling. So into the middle of this boom, we simply release Russian psychology. So anyhow, we've been trying to figure out how to penetrate that zone and area. Now, the only reason you're not making any penetration in some areas is because no materials are there. Nobody has totally translated what we're doing into what we are doing. We're putting out knowledge, and with that knowledge and with the actions which that knowledge has, you can get gain, production, case, change, ability, and that sort of thing. But the basic of it is knowledge. And when you get it right down to it and do an analysis of the thing, why, here is a product called knowledge, and the consumption of that knowledge is guaranteed. But look, you have to have the bulletins. You have to have the tapes. You have to have the course supervisor who says, and you read this bulletin now. And then see that the student reads that bulletin now. That'd be something new. And who doesn't assign him a condition of enemy because he doped off midway too, but goes over and asks him what he's misunderstood. All right, what kind of organizational structure does that make? What is the establishment structure? Did you notice that I included the OEC? It'd be fatal not to put the OEC in with it. Now, I can tell you something else that's fatal. You put in a fragment of something, and it'll boom and collapse. So if you put in a fragment of what your org could be exporting with knowledge, it will boom and it will collapse. If you put in a fragment of your product audit, if I weren't talking to you now about the responsibilities of establishing an establishment, I know it seems very rambling when I talk to you about this because you say the HES had nothing to do with finance. Boy, he doesn't. He can spend you poor, boy. Well, we've got these 60 staff members. I don't know why. We got them. We got the staff members. No auditors amongst them. I don't have a course supervisor. No hats. We got the establishment. There's 60 staff members. 60 unhatted people would behave like about 60 enemies, man, to each other. They'd beat each other's throats in no time. So he doesn't have a 60-man staff. He has a 60-man mob. So he doesn't have an establishment. Yes, he has a great deal to do with this sort of thing. So somebody's got to take responsibility for the establishment, and I've elected him it. Now, if the org officer takes responsibility for the establishment across the line, he will cease to help the product officer. And you know very well that if he ceases to help the product officer will start falling on his head. So the wrong division of duties, obviously, is the org officer taking the responsibility for the establishment. The right division of duties would be for the HAS to take responsibilities for the establishment and get one there that functioned and get the people hatted and checked out. The wrong action for an org officer would be to turn around to an HAS and say, give me three staff members at once because I've got to beef up the empty, fast-flowing posts of, and for the HAS to pick off people off of other fast-flowing posts and give them to the org officer. That's nuts. The HAF would have to look around and find where he had some people. And if he looks around and finds he hasn't got any spare people, he's one of these poor sods that is standing in a bread line clear at the end with only a gallon of coffee and a half a loaf of bread to give out to 100 men. He's poor. We ought to give him special clothes, you know, with ragged cuffs and... If you turned around to Treasury and you had to run a mission or something of the sort, and you said to Treasury, we need $250 in order to pay the expenses of this, and Treasury said, I'm sorry, you don't have any money. Why, because we didn't make any provision for this, and all our money's in the bank, and there isn't any way to do it. They'd say he isn't doing his job. Well, look at the HAS. Look at the HAS. Resources. What are the realities? Now, let me give you a little piece of stuff which emerged out of socialism. There's a few bits in socialism which are sound think. The most of it is balderdash. But this is very sound think. The wealth of the world are the real things in the world. And that is wealth. And money is only a substitute for wealth and is not itself wealth. And that is true. Money is only valid to the degree that it can substitute for actual wealth. Money is only of any use to the degree that it can purchase things of value. Value is established by things that are wanted. Value is established by wantedness. You can then fluctuate value by making scarcities and demands and so forth, but it is basically wantedness. Keynesian philosophy, which he tried to say was economics, is valid unless you put it in the field of economics. It is valid in the field of production. It's not valid in the field of money. And I think he must have gotten a couple of things crossed. But as far as production is concerned, you also have to create want. What you are selling is absolutely priceless. What we're selling here on Flag, I think you'll agree, is priceless. There isn't any possible price could be placed on it. So its price is what can be received for it. Not what is it worth, but what can be received for it, greater or lesser. So pricing is based totally, really, not on value, but what can be received for it. And that value is totally how much it is wanted. And out of a very, very close knowledge of those, and once you get all of these factors disentangled and all added up in your skull, you can establish how much establishment the HAS can put there. It has nothing whatsoever to do with any firm factor of, well, I'm an HAS, I will now put up an org board, and this org should be manned with 50 people, and we will now put them down the line, and we will put the people, there's blank spaces on this org board, and we'll put the people in those blank spaces, and so on. No. Right thing to do is to put up the org board, and then post it to the degree that it is required to back up production. And you build it up. Now you'll find the command lines of the org board will go absolutely mad if you don't build in from the top. So obviously the first production man that you put on is in charge of everything and does the production. One auditor. He obviously is in charge of all auditing while he is doing all the auditing. And he is obviously the production man for all auditing. So it's built from the top to that degree. But then when there's more auditing, why, it must be because there's more demand for auditing. So want has been created about auditing, and that is basically done by the circulation of books. Books always run out in front of the organization. The stats of an organization are actually almost monitored by the degree that the knowledge has been circulated. They are a direct coordination. It's actually not even by the degree of sales talk put out. The stats of an organization are proportional to the amount of knowledge circulated by the organization. So the HAS builds according to the stats he can bill by. He builds an organization at the cost of 50% of the income of the organization. He's really doing great. A rich HAS is one who has reserves, resources. Now the wealth of the world are actualities. An HAS is wealthy to the degree that he has trained staff members, that he has trained staff members in reserve. Special Products is being asked to please find work for 5 fully trained auditors we are not using at this moment on the production line. How would you like to hear a remark like that? Wouldn't that be remarkable? But that could be a statement which is made by the HAS. I got 5 auditors. I don't want to sign them into the administrative lines. Haven't you got some kind of a project where they can go out and audit ARC breaks or something, and do something, or can't you think up something or something? Now, you can run it the other way, too. Look, I want to have here a 55-man organization, and we've only got a 30-man organization, and at the present moment, we can only afford a 30-man organization. Can't we increase production or demand or something in some way so that we can increase our numbers organizationally so that we do get up into a zone where we're running, where we have a few reserves, instead of just asking me to pull musical chairs every day, any day of the week? That would be a very comfortable position. So please, can't we get the income up, huh? I noticed when we were collecting stats last week, I've got it here. Where is this stat here? Letters out. Dropped. Yes, I know, but we're trying to get the quality in. Ooh. First you get in volume, and then you get in quality, and then you will have viability. Now, he's dealing with some interesting coins. How many auditing hours can the organization furnish? How many instructor minutes can the organization furnish? How many student hours can the organization furnish? How many public courses per unit, per person, can the organization furnish? And that would be a resources survey of an HAS. How many hours? How many hours? Well, that's monitored by how many auditing rooms, how many auditors, how many this, how many that, and so forth. So an HAS should know the resources of his organization. He should know its actual wealth. That he has spare resources or additional resources depends upon his knowledge of the existing resources. Never saw such a silly thing in my life. A set of graphs come in here one day. An organization had about 10 auditors who were auditing 6 hours a week each. Oh, who's kidding? There must have been somebody in that area that was just throwing the gold coins of that organization right over the side. Boy, he was just throwing them into the sewer just as fast as he could pick them up and throw them away. 6 auditors? Count them up. How many auditing hours should 6 auditors furnish? That's 150 auditing hours. Or 6 auditors at 25 hours a week. Very well done auditing hours, too. Resources. This organization can furnish that. These auditing hours are worth this much. Unless we're selling by packages, so we ought to be selling by packages. We shouldn't be selling by hours because it's too expensive. It appears too expensive to the public to sell these auditing hours in this fashion, so we probably should sell by packages and so forth. So therefore, the package selling and so on and so on and so on. But nevertheless, the coins, the gold coins which that organization is spending and has to spend are auditing hours. And if they're not spent this week, they can't be spent ever again. Funny money. It's real wild money. If you don't spend it, you haven't got it. How many student hours can this organization deliver? Hours of student on course. All right, there's only room for 20 students in this organization if you jam them in with a shoehorn. Now, each student is going to spend 8 hours a day on class. So each student is worth 8 hours, and there are going to be 20 students. So you can furnish what? In a day, how many student hours? Those are your coins. Now, do you understand why I say the HAS is very poor if he does not have resources? Those are his resources. Suppose he's got 160 staff members, and he has, as organizational production coins, 25 auditing hours. Supposing he has one instructor for 7 courses. Well, that's instructor minutes per course. Now you subtract that down to instructor minutes per potential student. So he's got one course supervisor, and he's got one auditor, and he has 160 staff members. Does that sound crazy to you? Well, I exaggerated a bit so that it sounds real crazy. The organization would be broke in no time. Do you see that? Ooh. There's nothing to deliver. How the hell could he deliver anything?
This lecture is continued on FEBC number 10 and is entitled The HAS and the Coins of the Org.